as I have my drum on a heating pad so that it'll be ready for us to ignite us at the end. And I realize it's cooking now. It's not just warming. It's now in the cooking range. So I had to come up and turn it down really quickly. So I feel like I'm really loud. Is that too loud? She turned me down. Okay, good. Yeah. Phew. Yeah, it's hard to turn me down. So, you know, just kidding. But it seems a little loud to me. But all right. We're here today because I think that we all ache to connect. At least I know I did. I had a real longing for something that I couldn't explain, I couldn't define, I couldn't see, I couldn't touch, I couldn't find it, but boy, it was pulling me and it was calling me. And I couldn't figure out how to find it. And it really started to, actually at some point in time, make me feel like I was really going to lose it. I have a science degree, so I come from a different background. I grew up on a farm, and I have a science degree, and then I suddenly, you know, I mean, when I was young growing up, it all made sense because nobody told me it couldn't, right? Nobody said, you know, hey, Tina, whatever you're experiencing out there when you're riding your horse all day long isn't right. It just was, and it was perfect for me. It was when somebody said to me, you're weird, why are you saying that? Stop saying that, everything got confusing and became difficult. So I'm sensing that we all kind of have that common struggle, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and an interfaith approach to that. So in addition to what is already working for you, in addition to the way you choose to praise and celebrate, I have an invitation for you today. How can we know God better? Whatever way, whatever you want to call that. Some people call it the mystery. Some people call it the creator. Some people call it spirit. Some people don't feel it's there at all. Some people call it presence. Some people say there's nothing going on. It's just stuff happening every day. It's the same stuff happening every day. All of it's perfect and beautiful. However you want to walk it is fine. But I like to walk around saying words that stir people. And that word God really freaks people out. So I enjoy saying it. And it just gets everybody shackles up. And they just like want to like immediately start to defend themselves. And I'm like, wow, what are we defending? Interesting question, right? Interesting question. What are we defending? I just started studying karate with Sensei Miller in the back there, and it's really fascinating learning this really strong pose and thinking, what am I defending? Interesting. I'm doing it for the discipline work and for the energy work and for the centering of that craft and that art, but it does make me wonder, what are we defending? We spend lifetimes studying, okay, I know I did, at least it felt like a lifetime, studying science, and defining and sort of dissecting and finding the minutiae of things and then saying, ah, yes, this is exactly what it is. This is the truth, right? I taught middle school science for 8 years, and I used to tell my students, I don't know if there's a truth, but I'm going to tell you the truth that is defined at this point in time, but keep your eye on it because it's always changing. And of course, you should take that information and then sit with it for yourself and decide whether it feels good and rings true to you. So I invite you into that space today as well. Hi, everybody. I'm Tina Firewolf, and today we are going to spend some time together remembering. Because I believe that everything I'm about to tell you, you already know. It sort of might feel like a little like, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that again. I forgot that. And it might feel like a reminder, like, oh yeah, darn it. Gosh, I haven't done that in a while. And it might feel like a stirring. It might feel a little agitating at times. And you might kind of get onto the edge of your seat and go, oh, make it stop. And that's good too, because that's when we're growing. And that's when we get to say, oh, I just love being human, right? So there will be those moments today. And I invite us to be fully present together, right here, yep, right now. So let's invite in that part of us that might be going, who's this crazy person standing in front of the room? Let's invite in that part of us that's perhaps still rushing to get here on time. Let's invite that part of us in here that's just saying, you know, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. Let's invite that part of us in here that's saying, oh darn, fall's coming and that means winter's next. Whatever's in here, it's welcome. Whatever is in here is welcome. Even if you find yourself sitting there like this, ready to defend yourself. Let's invite that into the room. This is in addition to what works for you today. What I'm going to talk about today is in addition to what works for you. Nobody's saying, lay down what works for you. This is the only way, because there really isn't. You can hike any way you want to hike, or not at all. So this is in addition to. I invite us, can we become warriors of love? That's what I call it. In addition to what we do, could we become warriors of love? Could we dedicate ourselves also to containing thyself? Because my theory is, after teaching middle school for 8 years, and watching not only my students and my colleagues, who were often as out of control as my students, but also watching myself. The thing that I love to do most is contemplate and examine myself. I don't know where it came from. I'm just a naturally contemplative person, and that's why I wrote a contemplative book, I guess. It's contemplative photography. So that is, all the images are mine. I do not edit them in any way. I don't use Photoshop. I don't use a flash. I just use the sun. So there's a profound connection to the light. And there's a profound connection to the art of being slow. And you know this slow if you're baling hay and you're driving that tractor and you gotta go straight. And you can only go so fast. Because if you go too fast, hay's flying out of the baler and everything's crooked and on and on and on. And there's this art of being slow. And you hear the clicking and the cadence that is created and the barn swallows that swoop, at least they always did in front of the tractor, eating the insects, and everything is sort of seemingly orchestrated, but so divinely slow. And that's the book. Being a warrior of love, you are at that pace. Whether you're with yourself, and you're having a conversation in the wisdom that you contain, or with the chatter. Because I believe that the relationship we have between the wisdom we contain and the chatter that goes on, when those two come into alignment, you have grace. You have grace. You're able to speak from a place of love. You're able to act from a place of love. You're able to listen and hear from a place of love, rather than its counterpart, fear. So the book is a lot about love and fear, and it's a raw, honest look. Somebody said to me, they bought the book, and they're like, wow, you're really, like, naked in that book. And I'm like, yep. Because I believe sharing the truth of our humanness is what heals each other. So you get to read me and laugh and go, wow. I had somebody a gentleman buy the book the other day, and he emailed me and said, how did you know what I was thinking? And I said, yeah, because we're all human. We contain all of these parts. And the more intimate you can get with every single piece of who you are, of that chatter, it just sort of absorbs into love, and that's pretty much all that's left. This has been my experience anyway. Of course, there's always more parts, right? Each day you get up like, wow, there's another one? There it is. So what if what is separating us from God or knowing that still presence that we so ache, what if what's separating us is our inability to contain thyself or our lack of self-leadership skills. Not that we don't have them, but perhaps they just need a little polishing or bringing down off the shelf, or just a little bit more airtime, a little bit more focus. So can self-leadership skills bring us into a more centered, graceful state of love? Warriors of love stay in their center, even when you've got somebody outside of you triggering you and pushing every single button they can possibly push. And you know when your buttons are being pushed. Ever been standing there and you're like, oh, they're going to push the button, you know? Depending upon what we're going through each day in life, sometimes the button feels like this big. It feels more like a target. And everybody just seems to push it. But can you stay in the center versus waffling off center and coming from all the other places of resentment, fear, judgment, and all these places versus just this centered, still place? So it's like going to the gym, but you're inside yourself and you're lifting weights and you're building that muscle of patience, of solitude, whatever you wish to call it. That's what we're going to play with today. Because I believe that my dad said to me, the end of the book, I spent quite a bit of time in the desert in the middle of the book, and pretty much my whole life sort of blew up, and my car blew up. I don't know why the car always blows up with the life, but it's very synonymous, the car and life. Does anybody else notice that? You're like, okay, I got a flat tire. Okay, now the carburetor went. Okay, now I ran out of gas. It's like, oh my gosh, the car just sort of takes on everything that's happening in your life. It was incredible. So I get to the desert, the first thing, the radiator explodes. I'm like, oh, okay. And then the timing belt blew up. And then, it was just incredible. It was one thing after the other. And I had had my car totally looked at before I left North Carolina to go to the desert. So it was really fascinating to me that all the things my car found to have go wrong while I was there. So after a certain point, I had a pretty profound experience out there, and I ended up realizing I was to go home, back to the farm. And at the same time I realized that, my dad called me 5 minutes later. I'm not kidding you. Hey, kid, I think you're supposed to come home. Wow, I burst into tears because I just had that revelation like 5 minutes prior. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting in the car and I'm going home. Well, this thing's got duct tape around it, but we're going to get it there. And so I get there, I get to Ohio, and it blows up in the middle of a four-way intersection in Ohio. I'm not kidding you. And that was it. Like, the moment it blew up, I knew. I was like, oh, God, it's done. Like, it's really done this time. And somehow, it not only rolled through the four-way intersection, but it rolled into the shade. I'm not kidding you. It rolled into the shade. And I got out of the car, and I was like, how did I manage that? And I'm like, oh, I didn't manage that. So I get out, and I'm standing there in the shade, and I said to myself, okay, it's all right. Got this under control, because we always think that we're the one in charge. And I decided I'm going to call AAA, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that. And I hear as loud as day. I mean, just as loud as somebody had this horn right by my head. I know what you need. Just that stern and loud. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, it just stopped me. And I put the map down. And I stepped back away from the car. And the next thing I know, this gentleman comes over and he's looking at the engine with me. You kind of stare at your engine when things happen. You just kind of stare at it like this, like, there's not a dang thing I can do, but I'm going to look at it. And so I stood there staring at my engine and he was staring with me. And he said, I have two daughters in college. Where can I get you to? And I just started crying, and I'm like, I'm going to eat some Italian food next door because I'm starving and I'm hungry. And then I'm going to come out and I'm going to talk to you, because he was working with his truck and stuff. In that process, I called my dad. I said, Dad, this is my plan. He's like, absolutely not. You're not riding with a strange man. I will come and get you. It was like, I was like 4 hours from home. And I ended up what I call on a an 8-month, 3-day weekend at the farm. Yeah. Boy, was that a long weekend. That was a really long weekend. But I finished writing the book. And in that, I realized, here's the whole point of why I'm telling you that story. Aren't you glad? You're like, okay, she's going somewhere with it. I know she is. The whole reason I was there was to work with my dad. we're baling hay. He's like, kid, what do you think enlightenment is? I'm like, well, isn't that an interesting hay baling question? And I said, you know, Dad, I think it's when we can respond rather than react to life. And in that pause between responding and reacting, when you have that moment of like, okay, I'm like, there's God. Just laying there. You can call it presence, you can call it stillness, you can call it light, you can call it whatever you want. But there is, there's this little nano blip of a moment where if you can capture it, it's just presence. It's powerful. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to see what can we welcome in that might be blocking that intimacy that we really are craving to have. The intimacy that we crave to have with ourself, with the wisdom that we know is in there. We might not be able to find it right now because it might be buried beneath some, might be buried beneath the chatter, it might be buried beneath other things. But there's wisdom in us. And the intimacy that we wish to have between each other when we have conversation, why isn't there intimacy? Where is it? It's in there somewhere. But half the time we're thinking about the next thing we want to say, so we miss the moment. We miss that beautiful pause. We don't ever get to drink the nectar because we're too far ahead of ourselves. We're either in fear in the future or we're ruminating in the past and we're not even present with the presence. So these are habits. These are habits. And how do we change a habit? We exercise and we practice that which we wish for. So let's welcome in that part of us that might be sitting here right now going, dang, I do all those things. Because it's not about being perfect. It's about practice. It's about practice. When we practice, we are clear. And when we're clear, there's no other way. I made an art piece the other day, and I meant to bring it.